Welcome to the Draw.Good Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft. Back to a full spread of games this week, and we'll be dissecting all the important information from a fantasy perspective from round 15 to help ensure your draft teams are set for the run home. We've got waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, Captain Risky, and your listener questions coming up later on. I'm Doss, and joining me on the show this week, a very busy man over in the Rat. It's Stevie Fizz.
Yeah, g'day Doss, g'day listeners, and there's nothing I love more than a full spread of games. Now, it's bad times in the Fizz household. Mama and Papa Fizz actually came up today. We went out for a lovely lunch down at the Rizzle and came back. Mama Fizz went to use the commode, and we've discovered that we can't get in there because the latch on the door handle is broken. Now, I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with what a Sunday in Ararat's like, but essentially it is lockdown. So we're, Mrs. Fizz has already just driven down to McDonald's. That's why we had to delay recording 10 minutes, just so she can go number two. It's bad times. It's bad times. I'm not going to lie. It's much like my stream of Brandon Materia this week. It's going to be going in my own pants.
Absolutely rancid stuff. What do you say? Commode?
Commode.
Not familiar.
It's a toilet.
With the term. Okay. Well, learn something new every day. Sorry, guys. Jono Crockett on deck as well this week. Now, Jono, what's your go with your booze ban at the moment? Because we know Dry July would have kicked off by the time this podcast is out. You're all aboard, no doubt.
I don't do money for charity. No, screw that. No, I'm allowed one beer a week, but if people want to give money to me, a la Israel Folau style, I'm all for it. So give to Jono and the Draft Doctors so we may grow.
Back as well this week is Cam McLaughlin. How's that sunny Queensland going, mate? I'm pretty jealous in freezing Adelaide at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in shorts and t-shirt, and you're sitting there in, what, a hoodie, a beanie. Are you wearing gloves?
I sure am.
He's wearing fingerless gloves, the most impractical warming cloth of all time.
That's garbage. Pretty practical, actually. It's the opposite. It is very practical. I've also got four pairs of socks as well, and I'll show you my little booties I've got a little later on, but we will get into our round 15 review, looking at each game and all the things we noticed from a fantasy perspective this weekend, starting with the last currently fixtured Thursday night game, Essendon GWS, Steve.
Yeah, actually, there wasn't a whole lot to take away from this game, I thought, personally. Bell Chambers got injured, which is probably the big story. I mean, it was an interesting game to watch. The last 10, 15 minutes were a bit of a who's going to win it sort of affair. But once he went down, that like Essendon were about three goals down. And once McKernan went into the ruck, and Essendon just sort of got a little bit of a run on. So I'd certainly be looking to take a flyer on Sean McKernan. I would imagine that Essendon will do the horrendous thing and bring in Zach Clark, but I'm certainly taking a flyer on McKernan just in the hopes that he doesn't. And the other thing was they shifted Hooker forward, and unfortunately I was playing him in Supercoach, and he kicked that winning goal, kicked a couple goals when he went forward and looked pretty dangerous. So they might just well roll in Aaron Francis and make some moves there. Probably isn't good for Hooker if he plays forward. We know he's been scoring fantastic down back. But aside from that, there wasn't a heap of takeaways for me. I thought the Lidio was around the ball a hell of a lot. But I think GWS is screaming out for Lockie Whitfield, and by all accounts, he should be in next week.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Toby Green for a second, just because I didn't see a heap of this game. But when I did, I saw him in the centre bounce. I haven't done the centre bounces for this. Was this just, did I just happen to turn on at his usual just one singular centre bounce for the game? Or
look, he was in there a couple times here and there, but I think you're still going to find a steady rotation of the usual suspects. I mean, it's interesting because this is the game without De Boer, so there's obviously a bit of a role there. But again, Whitfield comes back, so take it for what it is.
Yeah, surprised Timmy Taranto didn't go bigger in this one as well. Was on a pretty big run, and like you said, no De Boer at the CBAs. It would have been just what, Taranto, Kelly, Cogs a lot of the time in there. And, I mean, Kelly and Cogs put up big tons, but Taranto not quite getting the ton for coaches out there.
Yeah, he didn't really get a run on at any stage. Like, it was when GWS had the ball, they were really stagnant with the movement. So I think it was more to do with how Essendon was setting up than you know, anything else.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy as well with my early preseason position on Andy McGrath. What do you think going forward, Steve? I know a few weeks ago you sort of said, you know, a lot of people in their keeper leagues have him just locked in there, and you don't reckon that's the way to go, do you?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it depends, you know, obviously on your format and structures, but look at what Essendon did in the off season. They went in and brought an inside midfielder. So there's one role. They've started using a tagger, so there's two inside midfield roles. They've obviously got Langford, Parrish, these guys developing on top of, you know, Dyson Heppel, who's still good enough, and Zach Merritt. Like, I don't see the world that he goes in there. It's not off, and I don't know. I was sort of looking at guys who score fantasy tons, and I'm just not convinced they come out of the back line all the time. Like, when you watch him play, he's a link player rather than anything else. He looks great around the stoppages, but I'm just cagey that's where Essendon sees value. Unless, you know, look, Worsfold could be moved on, as we're hearing. So, who knows? Who knows? It's an interesting midfield to try get into.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we'll get on to the next game of the round, and that was Geelong-Adelaide, Cam.
Yeah, our first thing for this one was actually Mark Blixavs. You know, a couple of years ago when he was playing as a third man up ruck, when you could still do that, he actually scored really well. He's got elite endurance, former steeplechaser, as they'll always tell you from the commentary box. But he was back playing a split ruck role as a ruck defender when Stanley was playing a ruck forward role. And the more time he spent around the ball gave him a massive bonus as far as score goes, from hitouts, higher tackle count and higher disposal count, finishing on 101 AFL fantasy and 115 super coach. It was a makeshift plan because Darcy Fort is an absolute potato and can't crack the side, and Rutigalia is injured and hadn't come back yet. But it really worked, and they dominated Adelaide as a result. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Chris Scott roll it out in the future, and it's one to watch as Blixavs is listed as a defender. Our second point is Mr. Fizz, well called early season with Rory Laird, or pre-season, saying that he probably won't get a boost from the kick-in rule, and actually he might see a bit of a slide anyway with Brodie Smith back, because he's been good if not spectacular. His average at the moment is 97 AFL fantasy, 98 supercoach, still really great, but down on his last two seasons' numbers. And in this game, he was actually playing around the 50-meter arc and missing those really precious, you know, easy plus sixes in AFL fantasy, the kick mark combo coming off the back. And I actually didn't see him take a kick out the entire game. It was Brodie Smith and Kyle Hartigan. So I think whilst this was a bit of an outlier score, it's probably indicative of his role change and why his score has dropped this year. And finally, Jono, are you ready to pay up for that Ablett bet yet? Because I need a six-pack and you're not drinking, so,
yeah. What bet is this? I have no recollection.
Oh, well, that's it. We can get the soundbite.
Yeah, I've got plenty of cash. I've actually saved a lot of money since I've stopped drinking, so, yeah. I'll pack something up and send it up.
If you can fund my habit, that would be great.
So what's a six-pack at Great Northern worth these days?
Oofed. About 200 ratings.
Interesting.
Hey, Cam, you're a Cats man. I don't know if you're high on this kid, but I'm big on Lachie Fogarty. What did you see in this game? He racked up 55 and 52 in AFL Fantasy and Supercoach in only 56% time on ground. I'm a big fan of his. What did you see in this one for your keeper leagues?
I didn't even look at him because there was a better keeper league option floating around, and that was Jordan Clark. He was absolutely elite running off the wing. They've basically trialled him up forward and off the halfback, but this game he was basically predominantly on the wing. Amazing. So good. He's going to be an absolute killer for the next few years.
Absolutely. Well, that is a good take there. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to get from the Adelaide side of things. And just looking at the Listener League keeper from our own keeper league for this podcast, and I just wanted to get the take for somebody who is a poor old Bryce Gibbs owner. And Stevie Fizz, it looks like you're the lucky man. What the hell do you do there? Is he almost worth dropping at this rate this season?
If you wanted to, but I'll probably just hold him and cut him at the end of the year in my cuts.
Just hope for a little bit of a change in the last sort of couple of months.
Well, you always need midfield depth, as far as I'm concerned. And I know he's not doing much, but 70, what's he going to score, 70? That's fine for depth. I'm not winning the...
I think the problem...
I'm not winning it. I'm not winning the title this year, and he's not worth anything. So what the hell else are you going to do? Pick up someone I'm just going to drop anyway?
Yeah. The problem is he's not even doing well in the Sandful. Like, so when he does go back there, he's not performing anyway. So there's something, I think, quite fundamentally wrong. Like, he's not going to be good until next year, and then maybe it's done.
All right, Hawks, West Coast. Jono, what did you see in this one?
Yeah, so the big news was Nick Nat was back, played a touch over 50% game time, and he was just giving the West Coast midfielders silver service, just palming it straight down their throat, as we saw just about all the midfielders go ham, essentially, except for Yo, who had the tag. So he was playing about 16, 17 minutes a quarter there. Nick Nat had a heap of hit-outs, 14-2 advantage. As we know, predominantly a super coach scorer. So if you've picked him up in your leagues as a bit of a stash over the bye rounds, he's going to get increased game time if you play your finals in the coming weeks. Some of you may have already started. He's going to be a great little person to either play or sit on your bench. Mark Hutchings actually went to Jarman Impey for the tag this week. And we've seen it of late from West Coast. They've got the defender tag going again. So it might be something that's a bit in vogue. And when Hutchings came off with a hammy injury, Impey really had a massive effect on the game. Gave him a lot of drive, even in the pouring down rain. He went full ham. He actually scored 118 Supercoach, 89 fantasy, when he was only on about 20 or 30 while Hutchings were tagging. So it might not just be a West Coast thing. We've mentioned in the games going forward that we might see that defensive tag moving forward again. I think we saw it maybe 5 or 6 years ago when we saw Heath Shaw, Johannesson, and the likes being tagged. So it looks like that's back in vogue. And also death taxes and Hawthorn in trouble. You throw Silk in the guts. The old bloke's still got some legs in him. So hopefully he goes around for another season and actually scoring pretty well.
A couple of poor scores on the Hawthorn side with Sicily. On the fantasy side of things, he did all right in Supercoach with 83, but 59 for AFL fantasy coaches. We flew him out there last week as potentially a buy low candidate on the trade market there. Is that still a viable option? What did you see from Sicily in this one, Jono?
Yeah, he started back and wasn't having much of an effect, then got pushed up on the ball a little bit, and that's where he was getting a few touches and whatnot. But again, it's Sicily, it's just they agitate him, he gives away a few free kicks, and that's what really affects his score.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And Ricky Henderson, was there anything behind his subpar score? We're used to him getting 110s this year. What was going on there with the 60s score?
Outside player, shocking weather, just basically get the ball on the boot and kick it forward and gain ground. And he was having none of that because there was plenty of contests and it was mainly the inside midfielder's day on Saturday.
Alrighty, an early scare for the Sydney Swans as our Gold Coast Suns really took it to them there. Cam, but what did you see in the Sydney-Gold Coast game?
Yeah, I spent a lot of the time watching the person that you call the GOAT, Braden Fiorini, this week. And just had a few questions about his scoring ability for the rest of the year now that Tuk Miller was coming back. And don't get me wrong, he's absolutely still a fiend and finds a cheap possession wherever he can. And he's still basically just playing all over the ground. His heat map is just dots. It's like looking at Lindsay Lohan. But the... He's seen decline the last couple of weeks in time on ground. It's marginal, but it's gone from 86% 3 weeks ago, slid down to 78% this week. And I think it's affected his scoring output with 91 AFL fantasy and 83 Supercoach this week. And I think it could be a result of too many cooks in the kitchen at the moment with Darcy Mack, Tuk Miller, Swallow, Miles, Will Brody as well. I don't think it's red alert, but I don't think you're going to be seeing 110s for the rest of the year. The second thing is JPK. So we know he's got a strong history of going absolutely bonkers in the back half of the season. And I think this game could be the signal as the start of that. He was great in both formats. He went 112 AFL Fantasy and 125 Supercoach, and he could be a really decent trade target depending on when your league finishes. His last three games of the regular season, in order, are Port, Melbourne and St Kilda, all of which he should be expected to go pretty darn well. But if your league finishes earlier by 2 or 3 weeks, probably avoid it because his games then are Frio, Cats and GWS, which will be much tougher games for him to score in. The third point is just Alia. With Callum Sinclair dislocating his shoulder twice, he took the majority of the ruck, and he probably will take that for the next few weeks because there's absolutely no one left.
Hey, don't sleep on my boy Mickey Noel. There's still a chance.
So there's no one left.
No, and I'd suggest even the commentators today on game day said he's no chance of getting up for next week.
Can I say why it's important? Because Mick Knowles actually lists as a ruckman, so you wouldn't really want to be playing in him in your ruck hole. You'd rather Alir or potentially Sam Reed, bit of split time with the forward and defender status.
Yeah, correct. And I think it goes back to that Blixar's point earlier. You know, there's every chance that he sees a little bit of a bump in score from extra tackles, extra disposals, even kicked a goal. And that's it.
So I think you guys were sort of messaging or talking somewhere about Jordan Dawson and potentially how you think he might be a DPP chance. So is he just floating around or something? What was the idea there?
He was coming off the halfback for some of that game. And I think the last couple of weeks he's primarily played that sort of halfback link through to the midfield. It's an out there chance, but I mean, maybe.
Mm. And with the fee or anything, I do share some of your concerns because we've seen Anthony Miles just get a real run in there in the last sort of month. And then also the Will Brody train, he's just taken off to a whole new level. He's getting a stack of CBAs. And yeah, Fairini's not really getting a heap of the centre bounces. But I mean, I still kind of have faith, to be honest, that he will put up nice numbers. But like you said, maybe not push out to those extreme sort of things that we were seeing earlier in the year. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. Because to be honest, I could see it going either way. Because they're not winning. So do they just chuck Fiorini, who's a young guy, he's only 21, you know, do they chuck him back in there and let him just run riot for the last couple of months of the season? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see which way that goes. Collingwood, North Melbourne. Steve, you check this one out.
Yeah, and you know, big win for North. I thought it was a real Jai Simpkin coming out party, someone I've really been waiting for a while. And 78 Dream Team, 106 Supercoach, 17 contested possessions. We know he's got an appetite for those. Fuck me, Cade Simpkin's kicked a goal. He actually scored. That's quite amazing. 17 contested and 11 clearances. He did give away the 5 free kicks. And looking at North, I think that's something they're going to wear because they're aggressive North. Like, they were playing on the edge. Had a lot of midfield time, a lot of CBAs for Simpkin. He's had some okay scores lately. Definitely more of a super coach player, but he's available in a lot of leagues, and I would certainly be putting him away in my team. Mason Wood was pretty good again. Last 5 scores he's had for Dream Team, this is. He's had 3 90s, a 74, and a 30. We've been waiting for him again to string some matches together. He has played a good string in a row here. His next few matches, he's got St Kilda, Essendon, and Brisbane. He's only 50% owned in Ultimate Footy. In this sort of barren forward land, he's absolutely worth consideration because North are up and about under Reece Shaw, which is great to see. And Collingwood averaging over 100 marks a game. North held them to 81. They really had the game on their terms, North Melbourne, for this whole match. And when you look at Collingwood's injury list, you can kind of see where they're falling down. A lot of their first-choice players are missing. They've got a super tough month ahead. I'd be really cagey about guys like Jordan Ngoi. I think he's a really good guy to trade out when you consider they've got Hawthorn next, who maybe Hawthorn aren't the super strongest team. But after that, you've got West Coast away, GWS away, and Richmond, who had got their players coming back in spades. Mate, I would be really cagey about playing Colin Forbes. And they are missing Jaden Stevenson. Make no mistake about that. Collingwood rely on getting that ball over the top into the forward line. Stevenson's the only guy they've got with some serious wheels aside from, well, anyone really, aside from Treloar, and they are just missing that link. I'm very cagey about Collingwood going forward with this stretch of matches.
Just to touch on as well, do we think now Sire, he got concussed in this one. Does this just mean, you know, Taylor Adams, I mean, is he far off still? Is he still coming back, or is he still a few weeks away?
He's still listed as two. Cam's okay. Cagey about him, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty cagey. I mean, it's been 2 weeks for the last 5 weeks. I just don't... who knows? Groin injuries, man. Brad Crouch
I would expect Rupert Wills was a test this week, so he might be available. I don't know, man.
I mean, do you reckon this could be your Pendles bump? You were suggesting maybe Sire being in the side has sort of hindered Pendles a bit. He put up pretty solid numbers in this, 95 AFL Fantasy, 111 Supercoach for Pendles. Could this sort of benefit him a bit after a little bit of a dry spell after starting off so strongly this year as well?
It could, but it could also benefit Sidebottom, who we know is, you know, not had the greatest run in the world. Like, Pendles was getting tagged by, is it Hayden, early in the piece before he got injured, and then sort
what
of
a lad.
Sort of had a... Just move on, man. You're wasting time on these games. You're not trading Pendles. He's fine. Well, maybe you did, but...
Sharon Goat, though, you actually forgot to mention the return of the Sharon Goat.
Oh, well, he came back.
What are you thinking?
It's amazing they didn't get up for it. I don't know, maybe Collingwood have just... Maybe it's all fallen apart with the lagger, Jeremy Howe, just lagging on his mates.
On your Jai Simpkin take as well, like I've been, as we've talked about the CBAs, he's taken a lot of them in there, and he tied the Ben Cunnington bull for contested possessions in this one. His fantasy score wasn't as good because of the five frees against. 78 AFL fantasy and 106 Supercoach points for Jai Simpkin. Really like that sort of take of yours. He's eligible as a forward, but he's clearly got a bump in midfield time with the Reshaw takeover.
Anyone who can win the contested ball is worth looking at.
All right, on to Port Adelaide Western Bulldogs. And that was a bit of a slop fest over here. And Jono, you check that one out.
Yeah, certainly was. Half the time, I could not even see the players on my TV and it was raining that bloody hard. But the Bond, he is an absolute machine, whether it's wet or dry, and just had it on a string. But both teams, they just got the ball onto their foot, and it was a territory battle basically for most of the first half. It was a bit wet and not much coming out of that, but in the second half it dried out, and one thing I noticed was that they just kicked the ball long and deep to Charlie Dixon, and after about 2 minutes the Bulldogs figured that out and just nullified him for the rest of the game. So they did that for the rest of the game, and they were unable to score and just couldn't come up with plan B, Port Adelaide. So with Justin Westhoff kicking 3 goals and having 37 possessions in the sample, there's a chance that he comes in this week to play as that second tool and maybe a bit of a backup ruckman to Lysette, who is going absolutely batshit ham playing solo ruck at the moment. Rocky, as we know, had 57 disposals as well in the sample. He should come back in as well, which would probably mean Robbie Gray gets kicked out of that midfield. Didn't have too much of an impact on Saturday night. And Dan Houston actually went to Caleb Daniel at the start of the match, but with the weather being so bad, they just gave up after about a minute and a half and let Daniel run free. But that could be something to watch in the coming weeks. As I said, Hutchings has gone to a couple of defenders, rebounding defenders as well. So maybe Caleb Daniel is going to be copping that tag from opposition teams in the next coming weeks.
So do we think, was Houston back in the guts after he stopped the Daniel tag?
Yeah. He was sort of floating probably midfield to defence as well, just helping out. So it was just a cluster muck. So it was hard to see where he was actually starting, but I didn't really notice him at the CBA. So probably split decision, I'd say.
Yeah, so probably just Rocky slots in for maybe a bit of a Houston and potentially a bit of, I guess, Drew time if he was spending in there.
I reckon Houston does stay in the guts. It's Robbie Gray that gets the boot on that, because even though Ollie Wines is in that team and was absolutely putrid, I mean, do you drop the captain? I mean, I'm all
drop
for
him.
It, but
drop him, Jono.
That's what I said. We had a private conversation between mates, and my mate said, "No, you can't drop the captain." On which I say, "Bullshit to that," because what 10 disposals he's had. Get some form, and Hinkley shows that he will drop players if they're out of form. So let's see if he's got the guts to do it.
Briefly mention on this one too, Ryan Burton's recent form. Now, this wasn't a good score because of the weather, but he has been in ripping form lately. And just back to that best that we saw him in his breakout year at Hawthorn, it is really good seeing him back in charge down back. And I'm pretty high on him going forward here. The score didn't look good, so that's positive if you can potentially get him somehow on a trade market. I'd be pretty high going forward for Ryan Burton, particularly in keeper leagues, obviously. And it's good to see Hamish Hartlett putting up massive numbers there too. I think, was it Cam? Were you pretty high on him in the preseason?
Yeah, I think I had him rated the highest, but that being said, he missed half the season, right? So, but he is looking pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
St Kilda Richmond, Steve.
Yeah, so the Mabior Chol ton we all expected came through. That was great to see. Certainly we all plugged him off the waiver wire. But no, it's interesting. There's so much competition across that Richmond half-back line. If you managed to trade out a month ago, I think I wrote it up in Dozen Deals or at least said it was a trade out on the show, Basha Hooley, bravo, because you would have got super value for that. And I'm, again, cagey about what you can expect from these gentlemen going forward. Obviously, we saw Jaden Short come back into this team. And, Jono, your favourite player, Nick Vlosten, who you tried to sell me during the week, somehow.
No value. Value and, through the roof now.
Well, you tried to throw in Seb Ross's steak knives, which was your first mistake. No, it was. I just think it's going to be a different guy each week. And it's kind of hard to predict who it is. So it's interesting. And just on the Saints side, it's just what the hell is their midfield? It's like Bubble and Squeak or some just disgusting soup where you just threw everything in your fridge into a pot and just went, yeah, we'll go with that. That's fine. It's I don't understand. It's probably not a good matchup, but Seb Ross is the only constant for me. I'm surprised Jack Steele, I know he's missed, but St Kilda.
We saw Jaden Short return in this one. Didn't put up huge numbers, but just the effect, I think, is sort of we're worried a little bit about maybe the Basha Hooley and Jaden Short. Can they coexist and both score okay? I mean, in this one, they both scored the same, which wasn't great. It was around the 70-odd mark in fantasy and in the 60s in Supercoach, so not great at all. I was sort of checking in this one. I had a look at who was taking the kick-ins as well, but there wasn't really any kick-ins to speak of, particularly in the first half. I think they didn't even barely kick a point, St Kilda, but it was fairly even across the spread. So Basha, Shane Edwards, Nick Vlosten and Jaden Short, they all kind of spread it across. So it was more a system of just whoever's close by. Actually, I saw Shane Edwards waving away Jaden Short when he was running back there to take it. So Edwards pretty confident in the kick. But is this concerning? And do you think there's still time if you are scared about the ongoing scores of maybe a Basha Hooley because his value has been so high this year? Is now still a time to sell potentially on Basha Hooley? Because I could see it going either way, but my gut is saying it's time to sell if you can on Hooley.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to vary league to league. I mean, there's going to be some cagey Richmond players in some leagues who know what's happening and all that. So, I mean, if you can cash out at 100-plus average, then go right ahead. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff. I just don't think he's going to average 120. Like, you know, he's a solid player. He's just not the 120, you know, that's not who he is.
And Steve, you said there's no one else that excites you from St Kilda perspective, but I know that I'm high on this guy personally, and he had a big run home last year. With Jack Steele, he scored in the 60s in this one, and he came off an injury. Is he a buy low candidate if nobody's really excited about any St Kilda player?
Well, the first problem, Doss, is you're excited about every fucking player in the league who's under 24. So let's just wipe that. But like, and he's fine. Like, Jack Steele's fine, and I really like Jack Steele. But the problem is you've got Dunstan in the team, you've got Hannabury in the team, you've got Ross in the team, you've got Hunter Clark in the team now, who they invested a high draft pick in. Like, all these guys aren't going to score well. St Kilda aren't a dominant team. Like, we can't sort of forget that context. I like Jack Steele, and I really hope he goes well. He's just not someone... I don't know. There's no clarity in St Kilda. That's my issue. Like, I know what Seb Ross is going to do, but I don't know what all these other guys are going to do. When Luke Dunstan was there and there was no Hannabury and it was just sort of those three, I was really happy to have him. And it's like, I'm really happy to have Jack Steele, but once everything gets sort of murky, I get worried. You know, and then you got Akers pinching things, and they're not a great team.
You're just trying to say in as many words as you can, hashtag Richo out. Let's get some stability in there.
Well, I just don't think they're great players. Mm. Like, they're fine.
I'm just waiting. He's safe this year, isn't he, though, Richo? Like, we're not going to see some drastic reshore changes that's going to make us excited about St Kilda? Or are they just waiting for the potential fixture to be a little bit better so that they can hope for some wins early in the new coach's tenure?
Well, maybe, but think about it. They got North Melbourne next week, who are on a bit of a hot streak. If they lose to North Melbourne, they've got Geelong the week after. I mean, they're going to lose to Geelong. Yeah. Like, they've got some easier games to finish off the year, but that doesn't mean they're going to win them.
Yeah. So maybe he survives the season. No St Kilda players excite you that much continuing on. All right, Brisbane, Melbourne. Jono, you check this one out on the Sunday.
Yeah, and bored the absolute shit out of me because it was a bit of a nothing game. Not really much to take out of this. I think Steve flagged it a little while back that Nathan Jones had been playing behind the ball, and he spent pretty much the whole game playing in defence behind the ball. So maybe he gets defender status and becomes a little bit useful, but other than that, not too much to take away. Cam McCarthy, I really liked his game. Doss, if you've done the CBAs, I did notice him spending a lot of time in there. He did spend a bit of time forward as well, kicked a couple of snags, so it could be something going forward.
What's his name? His first name's not Cam, just for listeners. You said Cam McCarthy. What's his
name? Oh, sorry. Liam McCarthy? Lincoln McCarthy.
Lincoln McCarthy, sorry.
So, yeah, no, he's all right going forward, and the bipolar D's are back after going full ham last week. They just shit the bed again. Maxi Gawn went off with a rolled ankle, I think it was the second quarter. Spent most of that second quarter on the bench. So going forward, if he does miss a week, Braden Pruce would be the one to pick up going forward, because Tommy Mack did go in the ruck. And as we know, Tommy Mack is no ruckman.
Hey, Jono, I saw a fair bit of this game and just didn't understand it, and I've seen it for a few weeks now, and it hasn't been a trend of his necessarily that much in the past. What's going on with Angus Brayshaw's game time? Because his scoring is actually going okay if you look at the time on ground percentage. So only 70% in this one. Similarly poor last week as well. Now, he is getting the mid-time, but it's just like, well, he's getting the mid-time, but it's only for, like, you know, 70% of a game, and he's still putting up okay numbers. But why is he getting this, do you think? What's going on?
I wasn't really watching Gus Brayshaw, but maybe he's done something to Simon Goodwin's daughter. I don't know. And it could be like...
It has to be that.
It could be the Adelaide effect. We see you've got the Crouch boys and Sloan there, and Matt Crouch has always had that one with that low TOG. It just could be a byproduct of having too many midfielders in there. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, and we saw the big O getting KO'd, and Stevie's boy, Steph Martin. It's been a great buy. If you got him a couple of weeks ago, he's putting up massive numbers. Freo Carlton to finish off the round. Cam, what have you been saying during this game?
Well, more than anything else, Carlton fucking won.
They did?
They did.
Carlton won by 4 points. Wow. The main thing for me was, you know, everyone knows Sam Walsh is a bit of a jet. But without Cripps, he was just freaking massive, 125 in the AFL fantasy format. But the big question about him is his disposal efficiency. And apparently it's going to cost him the rising star, potentially. But he was 33% disposal efficiency in this game. So he can get it, he just doesn't know how to use it.
What did that translate to in Supercoach, Cam?
40.
81.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it really? Oh my goodness. The other thing, Connor Blakely, this is a game of what you'll see in Connor Blakely this year. I know we've talked about him a lot, but he, until the 9th minute of the second quarter, was on 5. And then he went from 5 to 100 in the next 3 quarters, or the next half a game. Like, I think that's exactly what you'll see from Connor Blakely the rest of the year. He's still got it, but he just sometimes will go missing. That's kind of it. Man, they fucking won.
So Connor Blakely still defensive role as well, Cam, because we saw him do the last sort of 3 center bounces last week. It got a few people excited, but no, straight back to defense again this week.
Yeah, correct. He sort of floated around the defensive 50 pretty much the entire game. Every now and then he'd run forward. But yeah, he'd basically waste his gas tank and not get the ball and then just move back.
Alrighty, well, it was good to have that full fixture back again following the buys. Good to get through all the games. We've still got plenty to come as well. We've got waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and a captain risky, as well as listener questions. But first, checking in on some iTunes, and we do have a new review this week, Jono.
We do, 208 ratings now, and this is from Captain Fantasy. He says, the collective knowledge of the group makes this compulsory listening each week. Thanks, Captain Fantasy. Now, thank you, Captain Fantasy. Thank you for leaving the review, and keep on bringing him over the... Until we're getting towards the end of the season, we do want me to do something, so think of the ideas. I think we had me smashing my face in some peanut butter. I didn't mind that idea too bad. So... I don't know if the wife would like it too much, but I don't care. It sounds like a bit of fun to smash my face in a plate of peanut butter.
I don't think we're allowed to let Jono come up with the idea, though, right? Because that sounds like he's come up with the idea.
No, well, it was on Twitter. It was on Twitter. I think we got big cocks.
That was true. That was his idea, yeah.
Well, there was a bit of a vote that went out on the first and very successful article of Dossie's Dilemmas last week, and the people did vote. Plenty of votes coming in, and the winners, it was a joint winner, which pretty satisfied with having a two horse race there, because I think we'll just get you to do both of them. And that is the world's hottest corn chip with a dance routine, Jono. So what are we saying? 250 ratings to get Jono eating the world's hottest corn chip and making a
like
dance
30,
routine.
230.
I'd do a dance routine after eating the world's hottest chips because I'd probably be shitting my pants at the same time as jumping around.
Yeah, I suppose it's not that hard, so 230 is fine. Okay, on to our waiver wire pickups for the week. Still using that under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy rule, so if you're in a shallower league, there might be better options available, and keep on checking who people are dropping late in the game here just in case you can snap someone up. Cam? Who's your waiver wire pickups this week?
So the first one, I picked two mids this week because I think, you know, we always talk a lot about forwards and defenders, and sometimes you just need that bench mid. Paul Seedsman this week looked amazing, and it was by far his best game of the year. He scored very decently in both formats, and he's only 52% owned, so well worth having a look. Jack Graham, since he's come back into the side, hasn't set the world on fire, but he's been pretty handy. I think he's averaging over 90 in his last 3, which is quite surprising, and only 60% owned as well. Jed Buse, he's never, you know, going back to a defender now, he's never been relevant in any format, but his first game after a long-term injury, he posted 93 AFL Fantasy, 96 Supercoach, and he's only 6% owned. You could do worse for a speculative, but I'd expect him to go back to being that 50 defender. And as I mentioned earlier, Mark Blixaz as well, worth a look if the role stays there, 44%. And finally, I've said it for the last few weeks, Alia, now he's got that ruck roll, 52%. Get on it.
All right, what have you got for us this week, Jono?
Yeah, I got Robbie Tarrant, 35%. As we know, defenders versus the Saints is a lay-down mazare. Jordan Ruffhead is also up against the Hawks. As we know, key defenders is a pretty good thing against them. We did mention him, Zach Clark, earlier in the pod. He's at 12% if you do need a ruck, but I'm sure there's plenty of other ruckmans out there you might be able to find. If Maxi Gawn does mix, you've got Braden Pruce at 36%. He probably is a better option than Zach Clark anyway. And look, he's in 77% of teams, but he's playing the Blues this week, and that's Tommy Mack. So I think that 77% is due to keeper leagues, but Tommy Mack could be a good option against the Blues this week, especially off a wet game over in Perth there.
Stevie Fizz, what have you got?
I wasn't actually listening to them. I was just checking the ladder, so if I double up, sorry. Sean McKernan's my absolute number one, 24% own list of forward versus who knows for Sydney. He's a bit of an issue. Allaire, 52%. But I still like Sam Reed at 60%. I think he's pretty interesting there. Could get some time. Bench mid, Jack Graham, 60% owned versus the Suns. Ideally, you want to be using outside midfielders against the Suns, but they're all owned, so go for Jack. Jai Simpkin, 41% owned against St Kilda. All that midfield time, you grab him. Mason Wood, list of forward, 50% against St Kilda, who's, like I mentioned, has been pretty good. If you're in a Supercoach league, maybe this guy's not available, but 59% owned. Tommy Jonas, listed as a defender, playing against Adelaide. We know that's usually a pretty terrific matchup for defenders. And Jordan Clark, listed defender, 35% versus the Western Bulldogs.
And it wouldn't be the waiver wire pickups without a couple of speculative ads with Dossie, and that would be Rourke Smith looked bloody good in this game.
No. You see, the wet weather brings players down to his ability, and that's where his ability was, playing in shit mud. So no, Rourke Smith, don't go there.
He did look very good. Did anyone say Hunter Clark, by the way? I didn't catch that. He was, if you didn't watch this game, he was phenomenal in this one, and he had like 10 touches in the first quarter or something. Like, he finished with 91 fantasy, not entirely sure on the super coach, but he's got a very nice role down there. Yeah, once again, a bit speculative, but up against North this week. And I don't know, I was very impressed by him, looked very confident down back. So pretty keen on him, Cam.
The problem will be, I think Jimmy Webster's due back pretty soon. I think that'll impact that role a little bit. But yeah, worth speculative for sure.
Yeah, I reckon it's probably Caulfield that's going to miss out in the role there again and be kicked out. Okay, so we'll get on to the next thing, which is trade of the week. And Steve, what have you got?
I've got a lot of guys I want to sell, but not many I actually want to buy. The one guy I will say I think you might be able to buy, I'm not sure if you're able to get him cheap. It's good personality, Tom. And I hate trading for players who are injured, but I think we're really... I know personally, I don't have a great forward line in any league. And I would imagine a lot of people are the same. John, are you feeling me on that one?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty common complaint. And I think he's attainable. I think he's having a really good year. He's allegedly back this week. And even if he's not... They've got the showdown this week, but after that, you're looking at Gold Coast, Essendon, Carlton, and St Kilda. They might not win all those matchups, but I think there's enough good matchups in there to really, for good personality, Tom Lynch from Adelaide, just if you're not familiar with him, to continue some fantastic form, and he might not cost you the word because no one really sees him as a star, but he's pretty damn solid.
All right, so good personality, Tom Lynch from Adelaide.
And sell to Goey, like just sell, please, if you can get anything.
And Jono sort of mentioned before, maybe steal that buy Westhoff that we've said for a couple of weeks if he does get back in the team?
Oh, you'll get Westhoff for very little. I got no issue with buying him and probably still Sicily's pretty cheap. Like it was a wet weather game. He was clearly back in defence.
I got a sort of... This is on the borderline of a Dossie's dilemma for a trade sort of value. Do you think in a keeper, maybe even a single league, but more of a keeper league, is now the time when Rockliffe's trade value is at an all-time high following an SANFL game?
No.
I tend to think it might be.
Just remember, Tom Mitchell scored 4,000 Supercoach and fantasy points with 60 disposals. He didn't get in the next week. So... No, calm down.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. People are frothing.
Yeah, people are frothing. And it's you AFL fantasy people are just quietly. You're sick in the head. Dossie, you're sick in the head. I didn't want to say it, but there we are. No, I'm just going to look up Port Adelaide because there was a time where this year Rocky was just going absolutely full ham. That was the time to sell Rocky. It was like after 6 weeks this year.
Mm.
Yeah, he was going, 166, 115. Oh, there was a 43 in there, 132, 94. Yeah, it was after that match against Adelaide where he went 149.
But you do get where I'm coming at, though, right? It's, you know, the hype around it, it could be a time.
I think any time you sell Tom Rockliffe for value is a good time, mate.
All right, Captain Risky, Jono, who's your captain outside those obvious picks for round 16?
Yeah, couldn't split it this week, but two players from the Swans, they are up against the Bombers this week, and that is JPK and Luke Parker, both averaging pretty well this against the Bombers, both averaging around the 100 mark. The Clark tag should go to one of them, and they've both been in some pretty good form, especially Luke Parker. He's been pretty phenomenal the last month, and JPK off that injury. So one of them will get tagged, and they're my captain riskies this week, either JPK or Luke Parker, because one of them will get burnt, I think.
Okay, well, if you want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctor's website. You can get the Statesman Skippers article. You can also find Cam's injury report for all the injuries across the round. We've got a dozen deals. Again, it's by Sam Porter now, which is a great upgrade over the Stevie Fizz articles that were out the last couple of weeks. Then we've got Jono's late week pickups on a Friday as well. You can catch them on the Draft Doctor's website. We've also got Dossie's Dilemmas on a Monday. We've got a new article coming out this Wednesday to do with centre bounce attendances. So if you're into your CBAs, we've got that going to be coming out on a Wednesday this week. And then we've got a Friday video now. So there's a fair bit going on the Draft Doctor's website. Check it out, thedraftdoctors.com.au. And we'll finally get into our listener questions from Twitter. That's at the Draft Doctors on Twitter. And we've got a plenty here of questions. We'll go to We Got Big Cox first up. And he says, rewatched a favorite from my childhood, the 90s movie Biodome. Was it so terrible that it was funny or just poo? I don't know what that means.
Oh, Biodome was funny.
It was good.
Yeah.
Biodome was great.
It was no Encino Man, but eh.
Can't no, it wasn't.
I don't think you were born yet, Dossie, so you wouldn't know.
I do not know.
Exactly.
Is it one to check out, though? That's the question. Is it one I should be watching?
Yeah, it's a Paulie Shore collection of his greatest hits, Encino Man and Biodome. Probably pick them up at,
did you see,
20 cents at any local servo.
Did you say Paulie Shore is dead, Jono?
No.
The movie he made.
No. I didn't. He died?
No. It was a movie he made. It was all right.
I have not seen the movie.
All right, well, we've got Big Cox here, says something about a carrot about that movie, but I have no idea what he's talking about. Okay, Kyle Brett asks, is it genuinely a lucky dip when it comes to picking a primo defender? What do you guys think there?
No, I don't think so, but it's, you know, I don't know where he's coming from with that, but it's, you got to expect ups and downs. That's part of the game, unfortunately.
Look at Jake.
I guess referring to sort of Jake Lloyd and who Sicily. Else had a poor score? James Sicily, I guess across the board, it was it was just a bad round for some defenders, maybe.
Yeah, not everyone scores 100 every single week.
James Alexander, thoughts on Blitzarves for the rest of the year? Scored great in the ruck, and Scott seemed to like his performance. Could be a smoky. Cam, the Geelong man, what do you think?
Yeah, I like to think they're going to roll him out in that role because Cats were a better team with it. But I just think once Rutigalea is fit, he'll go back to being key defender.
Okay, that's all for the questions here, I believe. Got any other statements to finish off? Stevie, what have you got for us this week?
Not much. Just obviously a bad day, you know. Driving down to Macca's to take a shit, probably.
Don't you have maybe a drill to just get the hinges off the door?
They're on the other side. Everything's on the other side.
Great job, builder.
Is your mum still in there?
No. She couldn't get in to start with.
Right.
So she had to go down.
Sitting there thinking,
so she had to go down to KF.
Left
she had
to go to Macca's.
She had to go down to Macca's or KF. Well, I'd assume KF because KF's on the Western Highway.
Cleaner toilets at KF.
Well, the only thing is Macca's is 20. I think Macca's is 24 hours here as well. So, whereas KF is not.
I'm surprised the rat has a Macca's, to be honest. It's,
Every
town in Australia has a Macca's.
Every town has a Macca's. Not every town has a KF, which the dirtbags installed don't have. So don't worry about that. We got that over them. There's a lot of rivalry, Doss.
But is there a Hungry Jack's at either town?
No, there's not.
That's when you know you've made it, when there's a Hungry Jack's in your town.
We've got KF, Macca's, Subway. I think that's
Barnacle
it.
Barnacle Bill.
No,
Ruda.
Barnacle Bill.
Barnacle Bills.
All right, well, be the McDonald's of your league, not the Hungry Jacks, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.